Welcome to visitors of ours. Welcome to those in spaces we've not seen for a little while. We're so happy to be back again. Welcome to you all. Worship in the wilderness. We are starting on the next 4 or 5 Sundays, however many years, I believe you can have those in Lent. And we're using this series, which is based on those books some of you got last year. So, I don't know what sort of week you had. I don't know how you come from the place. There's a sort of different roads. Still coming in? A bit. Right, I don't have one. But these still waters in there, beautiful trees, all sorts of colours. You know, Psalm 23 might spring to mind. God going with you, taking you to find still waters. Is that sort of week that you can feel that you have? Or have you had one next one along, which is the desert highway? Well, there's not much growing there. And the road seems to go on and on and on. Or you want a mountain top, looking down, looking at the beautiful light coming through the trees. Or you want the other one. Well, a lot of cracks in the road. And it doesn't look very easy to keep going forward. So the question is, what kind of road has brought you here today? Streams of abundance, walking through the wilderness, the sun shining down on you, or the road marked with suffering? I'm hoping some of you can see that. I know it's not worrying now, but if you can, I invite you to join in with that. But every so often we have we welcome you. So even if you can't see the screen, you can join with those three words. So you can see it, join with me. If you're splashing in streams of abundance, we welcome you. Share your joy. If you're parched in the desert wasteland, we welcome you. Share your laughs. If you're relaxing in the light of temperament, we welcome you. Share your peace. If you're stumbling on a road of suffering, we welcome you. Share your prayer. At the bottom of the prayer, God of the water, earth, light, and brokenness, we welcome you. As you welcome us. Amen. I come to this service pretty sickened by some of the things we've been hearing about on the news. I don't know about you. Though there was one bit on the news this morning that I heard about a Russian pastor. I don't know if any of you have heard it. Russian Orthodox in Moscow. Now, I can't remember, he'd been speaking out and saying that the war in Ukraine was wrong. Russian speaking out. Well, we've already heard what the punishment is going to be this week. This last week. And I understand there are others speaking out in Russian Orthodox Church. And sometimes we say that the Russian Orthodox Church is in the pay of Putin almost. But there are ministers, there are Christians there who are speaking out. Before we go into the service, though, we can't forget that situation as we go through the service. We will pray, particularly for Ukraine, particularly for what's happened there. I want to bring this to your attention. Today, if you are free around 12:30 p.m., in the marketplace in Kettering, is a vigil for Ukraine. It's being organised by the Kettering Refugees Assistance with the Northamptonshire Aid for Ukraine, and is supported by aid groups and political parties. So 12:30 today, invites you to wear blue and yellow, bring banners, flags, and blue and yellow flowers. And they say, to show solidarity and support to the people of Ukraine, there will be a peaceful public vigil in Kettering Market at 12:30 on Sunday, the 6th of March. The outdoor vigil will be an opportunity to provide a moment of quiet reflection for those who they reckon about 30-40 minutes for it. St. Peter and St. Paul will also be open before and after for anyone who wants to go in and light a candle. So that's today, if you can make it. Now, words from Isaiah. Behold, I'm going to do something new. Now it will spring up. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness. In the midst of wilderness deserts, you get a drop of rain and suddenly things bloom. No, I don't know if any of you saw David Attenborough's program about the green planet. It was incredible to see the beauty of their wilderness because of rain. Isaiah writing, as God saying, I'm going to do something new. Now it will spring up. We must pray for the Ukraine, for Russia, for the other countries in there, that will happen. Now, I was looking for prayers on the Friday afternoon when we had a Monday service here for the World Day of Prayer, and I came across this from Baptist World Alliance. Russian women are praying and fasting in this critical situation in life. I would like to share our commitment to pray in one spirit with European women and Baptist women worldwide, and men, of course. Our Heavenly Father, sorry, I will pray this, but let me just show you the next slide. There's blue prayers and there's black prayers. If you can see it, this is blue. And this is black. So, if people over here will join the blue prayers, and people over here will join the black prayers. Yep? So, let me start. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you with humble hearts as the Lord of history, who holds the destiny of Ukraine and Russia in his hands. Lord, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who brought you peace, your peace, shalom, to the earth. Forgive us when we do not abide in your peace. We pray for the people of the land of Ukraine, whose dreams, hopes, health, properties, and life itself are damaged and destroyed. Be their hope, provider, and healer. We pray for children and mothers who are vulnerable and live in fear and abuse. Protect them, comfort them, and embrace them with your love. We pray for wisdom for the leaders of Ukraine and Russia. Guide them toward the path of peace.
We pray for the world leaders, politicians, and diplomats,
making efforts to solve the tension between Ukraine and Russia. We pray for the military forces that your armament, we shall not kill, will have a mighty power over their hearts and minds. We will pray your victory over all the societies and people of ours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I've also got some notes from BMS. And they've received the following prayer requests from our partners in Ukraine. They say, thank you for standing alongside all those affected by the conflict. Pray for your peace. I ask that churches, Christians, join them in prayer. So let's pray. Lord, we pray for the people of Ukraine, for those in shock of a sudden and violent violation of their country, they will be able to seek safety and know the comfort of your presence at the moment. We pray for Baptists and for Christians in the region as they prepare to use their churches as safe havens and emergency supply distribution points for those who pay them. Lord, we pray that you will give them wisdom for an ever-changing situation. And Lord, we pray in the coming days that there will be enough food and money and fuel and resources in the country for ordinary citizens. And we pray for those who are fleeing across the country. Lord, it was happened to hear about the land corridor being torn, just not being there yesterday. We pray for hearts that will be here and that there will be places for people to rest. We pray for the neighbouring countries, some of whom have already begun to prepare to receive refugees, that they will welcome and care for those who fled across borders. We pray for those who cannot and will not leave. We pray that they're not discouraged by those who do and do not feel that the international community has given up hope. And finally, we pray for all those affected by the conflict, regardless of nationality or religious affiliation. And Lord, lastly, I want to pray for that task that was mentioned this morning, and the other ones, and the other Christians that are standing up for justice and the truth. May they know your presence with them in all heavenly places. Amen. Yes, railway tracks. That's another sort of journey, isn't it? And together we can do something. Now, some of you will give money other ways. If you haven't and want to give, then BMS have got one way of giving, and help my give, you can give online there. Alright, and I can give you the details afterwards a bit more. I'm just going to skip through that. The other thing you can do is through Samaritan's Purse, and so I've had an email to do that. That's another means of giving. And there's a National Disaster Fund, if I've got its title right, which can be set up nationally. Now, I know some of you don't have access to computers. I've got some little envelopes there. You are welcome to take one. We'll be collecting next week as well, because sadly I don't see the prices finishing tomorrow. If you'd like to give some money, then just put in one of these envelopes, label, just name it Ukraine. We have deepened media service, and I'm hoping we can reach a consensus as to where we're going to send the offering for the church. So I'm hoping you will. That with us to do in the circumstances. But they will be around, please take one. I'll try and get them to the back, give them some of the form afterwards. Now, whatever we're facing, whatever's going on, we need to start with focusing on God, on Jesus. If you remember Peter walking on the water, when he was focused on Jesus, he walked on the water. When he suddenly became aware of all the disasters around him, he started to sing. So Jesus took his hand, regained his focus, and he was all right. So we are starting with something that's the Lord of the Night song. It's not a case of saying, oh, jolly, we're going to bounce around. No, I'm not saying that. Ukraine is still going our course. But we can still bless the Lord, even in this situation, even with that great sadness going on. So let's join, please stand if you're able to, and then sing, bless the Lord. Thank you. Oh, 9 o'clock. Oh no, the time I'm getting out of the house is 11:30, wasn't it? Anyway. Right, what else are we going to do today? Play. Right, well come on then, you've got to play. On now? Yes, now. Come on. Oh, you don't mean you need help, do you?
Yes!
Right, have you got your script? I've got that. What do you mean you've got that? What's this? You've not got a script for me. Right, so we're going to have to make it up as we go along,
are
we?
Yes.
Right, what have we got here? We've got people of Israel, we've got God, and we've got Moses and Aaron. And God. Well, so, people of Israel, right. If people over this side are about to be the people as well, Lord, you've got to do the crumble. Does that sound alright? You now have to be the crumble. If the people over the world would like to be Moses and Aaron, you're also crumble. And if the people down here would be God, yes? You're not
crumble. Can I confirm that?
No.
What's used to sit over here? Right, so we've got the situation here. Or you're going to do it. No, I thought you might not. The situation here where God has had a tremendous victory, if you like, in the life of the people of Israel. He's brought them out of Egypt, across the water, across the Red Sea, and they are now in the wilderness. They were slaves in Egypt, and very badly treated towards the end, and they were certainly grumbling then and complaining, and they were, slaves, basically. And they got into the desert, and there was Mount Sinai, giving of the commandments, and that was wonderful, literally, a mountaintop experience for them. As they went on through the desert, they started to grumble. They forgot what life was like in Egypt. And they were saying something like this, as it in Deuteronomy. They weren't happy. And so, people of Israel, let's hear your grumble.
We are speaking from the whole of whom my brethren, we have the power of God. We are not built in Egypt, and now we are
right, so they came along to Moses and Aaron. And, they complained with man to Moses and Aaron. So they did the best thing out. They took it to God. And this is God's reply to the people of Israel. He said, heaven is red and day break. Quail surprise at us. I'll send enough for just one day to teach my people trust. Yes, and if you want to be precise, at the weekend and the Sabbath, he sent an extra lot. But we'll just stick to this rhyme for a minute. So, that was fine. But Moses and Aaron weren't too happy because people of Israel had gone and grumbled at them. So Moses and Aaron turned to the people of Israel to give them God's message, but they grumbled. So they said, so, Moses and Aaron told the people of Israel what God had said, because God said, heaven was great at daybreak.
Well, the surprise at us. I'll send enough for just one day to teach my people trust.
But the trouble was, the people of Israel didn't actually stop grumbling at this point. They had the manna. And then a bit later on, quail, I know this is sort of being joined together with this rhyme. They grumbled most of their way across the wilderness. they said things like,
"Me, what are the things I pray we can write? Take our burden in Egypt and our burden in our."
So, Moses and Aaron were not happy. But at least they went to God in the first place. And at least they took their home to God as well. And they said,
"We have it in your mind. We find it in our God. And you can pray to us instead of worrying to God."
But God's answer, as ever, was,
"Heaven's bread, okay, very great. I'll surprise at dust. I'll send enough for just one day to teach my people trust."
And throughout their wandering in the wilderness, God taught them to trust in Him. And step by step, they got there in the end. Reflecting on those words, we've got a reading from Deuteronomy 8. What are you going to do? I thought you might want to go to sleep before the reading. Promise me you'll listen.
Please.
Yeah. Hard.
Please.
Okay, little boy. You're going to say ta-ra.
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 Right, you go back in there and let's get the reading up. So this is reading from Deuteronomy 8, and it's set on pictures. And then we'll have the other reading in a minute as well. So, Deuteronomy 8 says, "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you could keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, so confirmed his covenant, which he swore to his ancestors as it is today." So that comes at the end, and God is reminding them of what they went through in the wilderness, and the fact that they came far better in Egypt than it was in the wilderness. And they go on into the promised land. God reminds them of what's happened and what he's done in their lives. Chris,
will
you come please and read
us part one?
And Roy, will you please?
You certainly can.
Thank you very much.
Mark 1, verse 9 to 13. And it's where John is baptizing Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. I was baptized by John in Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels tended him.
The next passage in the Gospel of Mark, which we started looking at last week. And Mark, his Gospel is very succinct. He doesn't put a lot of extra information in. We haven't got the temptations mentioned in his Gospel. But there's a lot packed in there. So, for the material, first Sunday, the Spirit-filled journey. And going right back to Exodus 7, the words of Moses, or God's words through Moses, "Let my people go, if they may worship me in the wilderness." Wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. That passage in Mark is odd. He's just been baptized. It's the start of Jesus' ministry. And you would almost, perhaps in human terms, expect him to suddenly go and then start preaching. But instead, he's taken by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's led by the Spirit there. And the part in Deuteronomy reminds us, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness. He didn't send the people of Israel out into the wilderness to just be there by themselves. He led them. He went with them. They were there 40 years, as it says in Deuteronomy, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart and whether or not you would keep his commands. Those of you that have had wilderness experience have been through difficulties, whether caused by illness, situations, sadness, or whatever. Have you learned through them?
Yes.
And from humans, we learn more by facing challenges and difficulties than we do if everything's going easy. Because I don't know about you, but if everything is going easy, you tend to coast along a bit more. But if everything, well, even if just a few things turn a bit difficult, it should drive us to prayer. It really should. And through that, we can learn. God gave people with their manna to eat in the wilderness. Some of their ancestors had never known to humble and test you so that at the end it might go well with you. They say to yourself, "My power and strength of hands have produced this wealth." Isn't that a danger? That we stop relying on God and start relying on ourselves. And the passage reminds us that the Lord your God provided. He gives you the ability to produce wealth and confirms the covenant which he swore to the ancestors as it is today. I was pointed to a service on Radio 4, the daily service, a week last Friday, and there were these incredible words. "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." Corrie ten Boom. And she went through a frightening experience in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany. "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." And when we learn that God blesses us and gives us things, even though we can't do anything about it, Christ is all we need. And a Northern Nigerian Anglican bishop, and I cannot find out his name, but he suffered persecution. He did a little twist on that with Corrie ten Boom. He said, "I never knew that Christ was all I needed until Christ was all I had." He had nothing else. And to those Christians in Ukraine and in Russia. They're not going to have much at all. And my prayer is that they find Christ in the middle of that, and in finding Christ is all they need, they also come through that situation. In any wilderness, we are never, ever alone. So, wherever you are this morning, whether you're feeling on the mountaintop and feeling life's good, God is there with you. If you're down in the pits, if you're down in the wilderness, in the desert, God is with you. He's not left you alone. We're led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And the Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness. And this just seems very odd. We do ask that God leads us, we ask that God guides us. But sometimes He doesn't guide us in the way we expect. It's almost as if, God, you guide us in this way, and we'll be fine. That isn't how God works. He guides us into what He wants for us. And it may be that He's going to teach us more to trust. He's going to teach us more to pray. But He will be working in our lives as He leads us forward. For Jesus, that meant temptations. And you can read those in the other Gospels. But it's the Spirit going with Him, leading Him. And that's going to be so important for us, and so important for us in our lives. So, you know, you'll go from this place. We go in the strength of God. Let's go and pray. God will lead us. Church here is, if you like, a sort of, dare I say, a refreshment place. It's not a club. It's not a place where you just see your friends. It's a place for being with the Spirit, being with God, being with God's people, so that you can live in the world. We don't live in the world to come here, we live here to go out and live in the world. And our support of each other is crucial. But you know, what are you doing next week? Do you need prayer? Where are you going to? Who are you going to meet? Who are you going to pray for outside the church? And we should be having those sorts of conversations with each other, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And let's pray that our conversations after this service will be led by the Spirit. The wilderness is a place of worship and transformation. They said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, that they may worship me in the wilderness." Now, you may sit there thinking, they've got better worship down the road. Or, what about these big places which have got a 10-piece music group or 40-piece music group? I hope you don't sit there all service thinking that. Or I hope you don't go somewhere and think, not happy. Personally, I thank Brian and I thank Nick for all that they do for our worship. And I hope many of you actually say thanks to them. There you go, Vera does.
I feel like a Ukrainian.
But seriously, we are where we are. And actually, however sophisticated, however professional our singing, our playing is, it might not be worship. Some of you will know this song. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. And I'm going to say Matt Redmond. Matt Redmond?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, yeah. That sounds right, doesn't it? Sorry, I haven't got some notes here. So Matt Redmond, I'm pretty sure it's him, you can check that later. Beautiful song, beautiful words, but it was written when his church had got a superb band, and everybody used to come in. It was a great club. They used to come in for a concert. You know, they'd sing along. Have you been to those concerts where you sing along? We once went to it in Leicester and did one for a hall. and there were lots of groups of friends. I better not describe them as old ladies, because I'm heading to that now. But they had flags, and they were singing along to all the old songs. It was quite amusing in its way. But that's not what we're doing here. And yes, we will have songs that you don't know at times. What's the problem? Because the main thing we're here for is the worship. And Matt Redman's church, they had stopped the worship. They had the songs, they had the music, but it was not worship. So what do? They literally pulled the plug on the band. They stopped them. And this is where this song comes from. When the music fades and all is stripped away, I simply come. And the chorus of it is, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. In a way, the church was in a wilderness situation, and they had deliberately been led that way. But they rediscovered that worship was about Jesus. You can criticize the sermon all you like, but my challenge would be, have you heard from God today? You can criticize the singing, you can criticize the worship. And if you go out of this door criticizing everything, did you actually come to meet Jesus in the first place? That's what we're doing here. And each of us has got to realize that worship is about Jesus. It's not about who's stood here. It's not about who I'm going to talk to with coffee. Jesus is what it's all about. So wherever you are in your life, if you're in a wilderness or if you're on a mountaintop, God is with you. We're not that alone. We've been led by the Spirit in the wilderness, and the wilderness still involves worship. And in fact, if you're facing anything, the best place to start is with worship, however hard it is. Because the smallest opening, and God will come in and he will bless you. Before we have the next song, we've got some prayers here again. And I'm hoping that you will be able to see that. And I think, Rita, you should be able to read that one. And I think I'm all right with that. Okay. If you're in the same situation as Lydia and Rita, feel free to put a book over their shoulders. That's fine. So, what I'm asking you to do here is it's a prayer of commitment, really. Where are you this morning? So let's pray. Lord, sometimes we feel like we're walking through wilderness. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. When our spirits feel dry, help us trust in your Spirit.
Jesus, we choose to walk with you.
Fasting seems difficult, prayers seem unanswered.
Jesus, we choose to walk with you. Jesus, we choose to walk with you.
You can choose to worry or trust. Sorry, we can choose to worry or trust you to provide.
Jesus, we choose to walk with you.
Temptation is everywhere. Doubts can overwhelm us.
Jesus, we choose to walk with you.
You know what it's like to walk through desert, through this desert.
Jesus, we choose to walk with you.
You long to transform us with wilderness worship.
Jesus, we choose to walk with you. Amen.
Now, as I was looking for songs for today, this is one that we've sung at Remembrance Sunday. It's called Peace Hymn, if you like. And if you've not sung it before, tune is My Song is Love Unknown. So you know this tune. And I invite you to stand and join in. It's a lovely hymn, and it just seems so suitable for the place where we are at the moment in this world. Thank you, Brian. response, please, when I pray the Lord of Lent, I invite you to respond with renew our lives. So let's pray. Lord, we've already prayed for the Ukraine, and we will carry on praying there for your hand on that situation. We've mentioned the churches there, but I'm conscious that in other places around the world, Christians are persecuted and face dangers and difficulties and even wilderness situations. Lord, may they know your guiding, your leading by your Spirit, and may they know that you are with them, whatever they face. Lord of Lent,
renew our lives.
And Father, I'm conscious that there are situations around the world where there are difficulties and dangers for people, where we have migrants fleeing and people in refugee camps in other places. Lord, be with the peacemakers in the different situations. Be with those who are providing hospitality. And Lord, we pray that you would keep those people who are travelling and seeking safety, that Lord, you would keep them safe. And Lord, guide us as what we can do in these situations. Lord, of Lent,
renew our lives.
We come closer to home, aware of the difficulties that fuel rises and all that's going on. Pray for wisdom for our government, wisdom for the Queen and the royal family, and wisdom for our local government with all that's happening around here. Lord, may your hand be on different situations in this country. Still, the COVID situation is concerning, but people facing a struggle just to live. Lord, bless the food banks and guide those who are seeking to help them, that, Lord, people would be able to live with dignity and would be able to provide for those that they love. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Renew our lives that we would be able to show your love, that we would be able to speak a word in season, to be able to share the good news in whatever way to those we meet. Lord, there are those that we are particularly concerned for. And I'll just pause to give you folk a chance to just say a name, whether it's out loud or in your heart. Bring your people before God where you want God to touch their lives. Father, you've heard the names spoken out loud, you've heard the names spoken in our hearts. And we do commend these people to you. Thank you for all you give to us. We thank you for the money given here and given in other ways. And I pray that you would use it for your kingdom. I pray, Lord of Lent, that you would renew our So as we go from the service, this seemed a very suitable song to finish with. I will just say before we sing it, as you should have seen on the screen at the beginning of our service, we do thank John for his long service as treasurer. And he's stepping down at the AGM, which is later on this month. So, by next week because the meeting's the week after. All right? So they're around. Come and speak to me afterwards if you would like. So let's join together and sing this as we go into the next week. Thank you, God.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.